Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, the 27th day of August 2012. I'm Alex Jones, your host, and we are going to be here for the next 3 hours. And joining us, we have Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily. He's got a lot of sources in Virginia. That's where WorldNet Daily is based. And he's basically saying the green light is on right now for an Iran attack. Now, the green light's been on several times before, but more and more, it looks like it's headed in that direction. Could it be the October surprise? Joseph Farah will be joining us. And we'll take calls for the second half of him joining us. Or you can keel hold me. Michael Murphy tried to come on last week, but his cell phone and hotel phone sounded terrible, so I got rid of him in about 20 minutes. But very informative. The latest on aerosol spraying, chemtrails, weather manipulation. We'll take your calls when Mr. Murphy joins us as well. Obviously, we've got giant stacks of news and information to cover here today, and we're going to be going over all of it. But one of the big issues that I'm going to be discussing with Joseph Farah is the incredible admissions by the London Telegraph and other major papers of what we've known for a year and a half in Libya and about 8-9 months in Syria. U.S., British, Saudi Arabian special forces are inside Syria. So when you heard on the news, oh, there's peaceful activists being attacked by the big old meanie Assad, and that there's wonderful fighters resisting now, it is our criminal government in there trying to overthrow that country, and there's more mainstream news admitting that it's Al-Qaeda base, the heart of the liberating, loving sweetsies, the valiant freedom fighters are Al-Qaeda. That's why we call Al-Qaeda Al-Qaeda. So we'll be talking about that with Joe Farah coming up today. There's also a story that is finally starting to get legs, and that's good because it's very, very serious. Suzanne Posel, writing for Infowars.com, integrates all the different reports coming out and does a great job. And the report is at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I'm going to ask Kurt Nemo right now. Susan's also the editor-in-chief over at Occupy Corporatism. But the point is, her article appearing at Infowars.com, U.S. veterans forcibly sequestered in mental hospitals is indefinite detention. Yes, that's what it is. They use the mental health laws to indefinitely detain you. Going back about 100 years ago, right at about 100 years ago, 1910 or so, all over the United States, 35 states passed laws by the 20s, but it started in 1910, where they would have mental health come grab you for racial hygiene health. That's where Hitler got the term, was from the United States and England. And they would sterilize you for a B minus. Black, white, they didn't care. They would sterilize you for a B minus. Sterilize you for a B minus. And of course, the eugenics based game has never been to, quote, make humanity better. It's actually to understand how humans work and dumb us down systematically. Also coming up later, they've announced where I live here in Austin, but it's the same nationwide. They're going to try to get rid of the summer vacation. They're trying to make people at age 2 put their kids in government training camps, where they vaccinate them and brainwash them. The more school you get, the dumber the population gets, because it's designed to confuse you and turn you into an addled, you know, social junkie that's a mindless Borg. They're re-education camps. And they're going to make Austin AISD school children wear GPS tags. This is going in face scanning, hand printing to buy and sell, to get library books. It's the Department of Defense in San Antonio runs the system. Face scanning the children as they eat their lunches, and AI computers analyze their eating patterns. More blimps being tethered over more U.S. cities. Just absolute bedlam. It is all coming up straight ahead today, an absolutely jam-packed transmission. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is Monday, ladies and gentlemen, and we have Joe Farah of WorldNet Daily looking at election 2012 and the Iran strike that's moved to the front burner, joining us in the second hour. We're looking at chemtrails and weather manipulation with what's happening with the drought coming up in the third hour today. Here's some of the headlines. City to be watched by permanent eye in the sky. Surveillance plane will record mundane activity. New solar drones being launched that will track you 24/7. Also, there's a report about scientists able to hack the brain now with a computer and retrieve personal data. Food shortage could force world into vegetarianism, warns scientist. That's always been their plan, total social engineering. Scientist, again, as I mentioned, successfully hacking the brain to obtain private data. That's out of CBS Seattle. We're going to be going over that. Researchers find mysterious new AIDS-like disease. Funny, it's causing autoimmune diseases in rodents that are fed GMO products. You can look that up. Just type in GMO linked to autoimmune disorder. Continuing, we're going to be breaking all of this down today. Portland, Oregon, to spend $5 million to put in the equipment to poison its residents with toxic fluoride. I know I keep harping on that because now it's even in the Harvard Medical Journal, federal journals, the American Medical Association 7 years ago was finally forced along the American Dental Association to say you shouldn't be drinking 1.5 or even one part per million sodium fluoride. And they're now saying discontinue it as use as a pesticide on crops. Yeah, you spray it on crops, it kills bugs. But still, we've gone from about 65% of the United States, same thing in Canada and England, it's very similar numbers, being fluoridated a decade ago to about 74% last number I saw earlier this year. So they will come in and spend tens of millions of dollars, like in the case of San Antonio a few years ago, to brainwash people and the city council to finally accept it because they love you so much, even though it gives you cancer and reduces your IQ. And I'm about to get into all the other news and give the phone number out. The point is, last night I pulled into CVS on my way home and I walked up to the counter. And I had some ballpoint pens and, you know, stuff like that that my children needed. And I get up there to the counter, and they always pick managers who are big guys. I guess they're supposed to lord over people. And he asked me how my day is going. I go, it's going fine. And he goes, I recognize that voice. And there's nobody behind me in line at that time. And I go, yeah, I'm the talk show host. And he goes, yeah, you're the one that came in my store and videotaped things. In fact, guys, will you guys pull up Alex Jones and CVS exposes fluoride water for children? I meant to have you do that. It's everywhere. Or just fluoride in CVS. I'll pull it up for you. And I look at him, and he's kind of looking at me like he's angry, like I'm going to, you know, get scared here, like I'm some, you know, little employee back in the back corner he's going to lord over. And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, it's a public interest, you know, sodium fluoride that's added to that, quote, baby formula water that you have on every end cap. Even the American Medical Association says children under 5 shouldn't be drinking fluoride water, or under 6, actually. He goes, yeah, I know. I didn't believe you. And I went and looked that up and found out it's true. I found out we're phasing it out nationwide. And I said, why? Not because it's bad for people, but because it's not selling. And he said, yeah, you're right. So now there's like 4 people behind me because there's one person on a Sunday evening, you know, at the checkout counters. There's 4 lanes of counters, one guy. 4 people have stacked up, and some are smiling and looking at me, you know who I am. Others looking at me like I'm crazy. I mean, whoa, we've got an American who's willing to talk. We've got an American who's willing to actually communicate with other humans. We're supposed to stay quiet, go get our fluoride water, get our Prozac, and go home and die. We're not supposed to communicate. And here's somebody in this keep your head down prison grid where everybody's supposed to go home and watch television and watch their imaginary friends and have their imaginary relationships as you drive through the neighborhoods and the windows all glow blue as people watch television and don't talk to each other anymore as our culture dies. I start going, yeah, there's poison in that water. And now he's not acting all tough guy anymore, kind of bowing up. Now he's shrinking back, embarrassed. Everybody's listening. And I'm like, yeah, I went in Walgreens too and showed their poison fluoride water. And I said, everybody needs to understand there's an agenda and it's a chemical weapon. By then, he's now shrunk down, trying to literally hide behind the counter. And everybody else looks scared. And I go, that's right. You're scared of the man that talks. I walk in, there's a chemical weapon meant to brain damage babies, and I dare say something, and I dare make a video. And as I walked out, I said, but I'm getting results, and that's what matters. So you go ahead and point your finger and say I'm the bad guy. I cannot believe how religiously sheepish the public is. And even big, tough guys, they'll be big and tough to their neighbor or big and tough to people they manage or big and tough to whoever. But when they get around police or bureaucrats, they're like little babies, and they'll try to charm the TSA while they grope their five-year-old daughter or son. They'll get real scared. It's fun to get scared, isn't it? But boy, let me tell you, you'll sure swagger around at the pool, look at every guy that isn't as big and tough as you like they're a little wimp, when I bet half those little guys out there will unscrew your head like a corkscrew. The point is, I am sick and tired of it. See, I've got all this news, and I just flashed back to that last night. But I did notice, as he said that they didn't have end caps everywhere for the devil water, the chemical weapon. So see, that's how it works. You start trying to intimidate me, I come right back at you. Oh, here's the video. Here's the video from CBS. Shot back in March. Here it is.
Look at this. They're bombarding you everywhere with stuff that poisons you. Fluoride, which the American Dental Association has admitted for 5 years. Children under five shouldn't even brush their teeth with it or drink it. Check it out for yourself. Everywhere. Nursery water for the baby with fluoride. And then you go down this aisle and it's you versus the flu at CVS. Get your flu shot. When they admit that it doubles your chances of getting the flu the next year, big Canadian studies. And they admit they've never guessed the year before what the flu's going to be the next year. I mean, total hoax. Totally worthless. Three flu shots and you double your chances of getting Alzheimer's. Just Google that. Search it. Look it up. They admit it. And then down here, more anti-human propaganda. Just everywhere is propaganda. Oh, CVS, you know, buy their product because it's earth-friendly. And again, there's a lot of reasonable stuff environmentally, but they tag this onto the whole eugenics, anti-human agenda. It's all about bossing you around, making you feel guilty. And you go through this place, it is just everywhere. Everywhere. And every store you go to just bombards you. You need fluoride for your kids. You need mercury-filled, you know, vaccines. You need all of this. I mean, I noticed they push it in the chemical aisle as well.
All right, that's enough.
Flu shots, which is...
I got the flu shots right next to the fluoride water for babies. And the point is, the guy, part of the story I forgot to tell you in the conversation we had, he's like, yeah, no, it became a big thing in the company. And a search was on for where the video was produced. And I argued that it was my store. I could tell it was my store, but there's thousands of stores. And so thank you for confirming it. And he was all looking at me like I was going to literally defecate in my pants. Listen here, pal. Okay, let me explain something to you. This is how screwed up we've gotten, how helpless we've become with Stockholm Syndrome collectively, learned helplessness. I know the fluoride in that water, many times higher than it is even in the city water, is hurting little babies and is designed to reduce their IQ. And I'm angry about it. And I've been exposing Ozarka and others for about a decade since they came out with this. Okay? In fact, last night, we don't watch a lot of television. Here I am criticizing it, but we got in bed about 8 o'clock. All the kids are sitting in there on the floor. They wanted to watch a nature show. We let them watch TV maybe twice a week. We turn on a show about crocodiles. And during the ads, it was new maximum strength fluoride called Max Fluoride or something. In fact, I meant to look it up when we got here today. And it's for sore mouths. We know your gums are bleeding, and we know you've got a sore mouth. So you need more fluoride. Well, it's the fluoride actually causing that. And it's just everywhere. I mean, I declare war on this. I declare war on it. And I think fluoride, along with the TSA, is one of the key areas we can really unify people along race, religion, color, ethnicity, whatever the case is. It's time to get angry. It's time to get aggressive. You know, in public schools nationwide, at least 5 times a year, they give them little fluoride pills that the kids are supposed to chew up. That I remember being in public school kindergarten, and then in first grade, and then after that I was sent to private school for a while, then back to public school in sixth grade. But the point is, I remember them bringing it. It looked like candy. And I remember getting sick and having to lay on the floor and vomiting in my mother's Volkswagen when she came to pick me up. See, I guess from age 5, I wasn't in a coma, and I knew if I ate something, it made me sick. It's kind of like once we were at the coast, and my parents went down to one of those seafood markets and bought some shrimp and made me eat it. They're like, oh, come on, it's good. I got food poisoning from it. I don't like shrimp today. You know, it just kind of works like that. You know what I mean? I just, if I drink out of something and I get sick, I don't like it anymore because I'm an extremist, because I'm a bad man. You know, I told you 17 years ago, world government run by banks was coming, that they'd use a worldwide depression to bring you to your knees. Now they've done it. Does it make me right? No, I'm bad.
I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed.
So I guess, in a way, I am a weirdo. I mean, when I know that fluoride is being added to baby formula, it's being added to the water that they target just at babies, while for 6+ years it's admitted that babies shouldn't drink it. We force them with the thousands of medical studies to admit that, just like we forced them to admit that Prozac and other serotonin reuptake inhibitors is causing violent outbreaks and suicides. But still, they put it in our city water nationwide and worldwide. Where are the ambulance-chasing lawyers on that front? Suzanne Posel has a great article, again, up at Infowars.com, breaking down what we've been covering the last week. U.S. veterans forcibly sequestered in mental hospitals is indefinite detention. GOP makes sure Ron Paul supporters get seats in nosebleed section of RNC. City to be watched by permanent eye in the sky. Ron Paul just made the last speech of his political career. Ron Paul, I don't fully endorse Romney for president. Well, you can't because you're going to endorse all his policies. Doesn't mean you support Obama either. Nosy neighbor call brings SWAT team down on gun owner just because they saw him cleaning a gun on his back porch. Man, that even happens in Texas. And the cops come. They want to demonize the Second Amendment. Man, I tell you, it's just to create this perception it's illegal. And, of course, what got me ranting, a Portland, Oregon, to spend $5 million to poison its residents with toxic fluoride. Just incredible. Look at this AP interview with President Obama. Obama calls Romney's ideas extreme. Really, that he helped with the insurance companies write what you adopted as the fascist government health care plan? It's not even socialist. It's a con job run by the insurance companies who aren't free market, who are monopoly groups. What about No Child Left Behind? He supported that. You support that. Government federalization, more of schools. You supported carbon taxes. He supports that. He supports semi-auto bans. You support that. He supports abortion in the past. You support that. He supported the NDAA. You support that, Obama. He supported the Patriot Act extension. You supported that. He supported amnesty for illegal aliens. You've done that by fiat. He supported shutting down power plants that aren't insiders. He supports all this globalism that makes the ultra-rich exempt from taxes. He supports all the corporate welfare you support. I mean, other than rhetoric, yeah, he doesn't come out and say you didn't build that. You're there to kind of promote open communism at the grassroots to get everybody used to it. And then he's there to play the part of the alternative. So people think they have a place to run. It's kind of like the cartoon where the cat puts the fake theater entrance in front of its mouth with two different entrances so that the mouse feels like it has a choice of which entrance it goes in, but it still goes down the cat's mouth. Like an old Tom and Jerry, isn't it? I'm sure many of you have seen that. That'd be a good still to find on the web and make a cartoon out of, you know, a political cartoon out of. So our civilization is crumbling. I was this morning reading education numbers in the U.S. and how they keep going down, 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 down. Literacy down, 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 down. And then I've got the Department of Education documents. They're all in the book we sell, Deliberate Dumbing Down, the new edition by the former head of policy at the Department of Education, Charlotte Iserby. And in there, it said in the 50s and 60s, people are too educated, they're too informed, we're going to dumb them down. Back then, people went to school 8 months out of the year. Now it's 9 months, 10 months. They want to get rid of, you know, as I was mentioning, summer vacation period. And now they're trying to put two-year-olds and three-year-olds in the government, pre-K, which will compete with the regular daycare centers that should be teaching basic reading, writing, and arithmetic, and the parents should be, but they've all been taught that's not cool to do. Just give your kids at age two to the state so they can have all the vaccines and all the aspartame and have the Department of Defense cameras watching them in public schools nationwide. Don't believe me, just type it in. San Antonio, New York, you name it. AI computers watching them, cameras in the bathrooms. And now, citywide, the Austin Independent School District is going to put GPS trackers on the kids, not just when they're in school, when they're out of school. Yeah. But the government loves us, so drink your fluoride and take your shots.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the wild man, the crazy man. When I see the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the chairman openly before Congress, the House and the Senate, in three different meetings and last year in a letter from the president, tell him that NATO now commands our military, I get upset. When I see hundreds of financial publications announce world government has been established and the head of the EU, the head of England, all the major globalist heads, the CFR, announce we've been conquered and actually laugh at us and rub it in, I get upset. When the city where I live has shut down two of the city-owned power plants, doubling prices, and is now going to shut the third mega plant down, and I watch my power bills explode, and I watch poor people go bankrupt, I get angry. But again, I'm a bad person. When people are cheating me and screwing me politically and financially and laughing at me in my face, I get angry. Because it is a bad thing in a culture that has just given up and that is in a trance zombie state to care and be involved. But I know you, the listeners of this worldwide broadcast, you haven't given up. And you see people starting to wake up out of their mind-numb stupor. And we can see people go from being completely brain-dead and totally unaware to waking up overnight. That's why we're planting seeds. Sometimes they wake up right away. Sometimes they wake up in 5 years. Sometimes they never wake up. But more often than not, people are waking up. And you hear them call in. They go, I'm a police officer. I woke up 14 months ago. They want to tell you when they woke up. Or I'm an Air Force officer. Or I'm a school teacher and I woke up. Or I'm a lawyer. Or I'm a state representative and I woke up. Because it is waking up. You're like, whoa. Sometimes it's walking out in your backyard and a police drone's taking video of you. Other times your child comes home and says, yeah, we were told to tell the school what's in the medicine cabinet. And you haven't done anything wrong, but you're like, in America, the school wants to know what's in my medicine cabinet? Ladies and gentlemen, we are so far down the rat hole. But here's the good news. We can always stop going down the rat hole and start back anytime we want. The globalists relish and crave control. They crave you being in the dark. They crave you not being aware. I have what I can only describe as a lust, but lust is a sin. So, but that's the only way I can describe an absolute overdriving relish to unlock minds. I absolutely cannot stand scam artists. I absolutely cannot stand bullies. I absolutely love seeing people successful. I just love it. I'll say it again. I'm a fan of man, to quote Al Pacino playing the devil in Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves. Great movie. But you know, there's a lie there. When the devil says I'm a fan of man, he's not. The devil hates mankind and wants to kill mankind. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Because we're made in the image of the Creator. The angels aren't, ladies and gentlemen. Now, again, even if you don't believe in God and see that more as an archetype, the point is the people we're fighting operate just like the fallen angels that are described in the Bible and every other ancient culture. The people running things love to see famine and death and war and starving children. You see innocence and want to protect it, they want to shake it around by the neck like a crocodile grabbing a baby dog. That's what they're looking for. That's what they want. And I'm now ranting. We're going to go to your phone calls until Joe Farrow joins us. We'll take calls when Farrow's on with us as well. But we'll clear the phone decks at that time once he's on so you can call in on the specific issues we're covering for your questions for him. But here's the toll-free number, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. One big program note, then I'll hit a smattering of other news and then go to your calls. Here is the final official version of InfoWars magazine. We did multiple prints. Notice one is smaller than the other, more square. Notice that has a, if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, has an orange arrow. The final one has a blue one. The 40,000 of you that ordered in bulk the magazine, it's being shipped out to you now. We had to stop there. In 36 hours, we sold, let's be technical, 36,000 copies because we held back 4,000 so that when we come out with subscriptions next month, you can get the first issue and the next 12. That'll be how it works. Whoever said 13 was unlucky. That's our first 13 colonies, first 13 stars. The point is that you can still get the final product, a free digital copy, at Infowars.com/newsletter because so many people have been requesting it. Our office has been inundated. There's one way to get it. Infowars.com/newsletter. Sign up. Put your email in. It's free. You'll get our daily news briefings, special videos, everything sent to you daily. But also, we'll just keep adding it, I guess, every time the email goes out so that everybody can get it because people just keep asking and asking and asking. So Infowars.com/newsletter. And we're trying to figure out shipping, where we're going to ship this outside the office, because obviously if we can sell 36,000 in 36 hours, that's about 1,000 an hour, I never thought of that, but it took 36 hours, day and a half to sell out. To sell out 36,000. And I'm sure a lot of that's interested. It's the first edition, but once you get it, I mean, what a tool to wake people up. We're only going to print 50,000 this next run, the October issue that'll be done in late September. But I'm digressing. Unless I can find, and guys, I'm getting into the newspaper business. I got to figure out who you use offsite, how they do the labeling, how you can keep it affordable for the subscriptions. And this is our answer to the internet kill switch. You know, we're dominating the web thanks to you spreading the word and our hard work. And the fact that I'm angry and cut through people's Stockholm syndrome. If you're a new listener and don't know what Stockholm syndrome is, people get kidnapped. And about 40% of the time, studies show, depending on the culture, they end up serving and defending their abusers and kidnappers. I don't call it Stockholm. I call it total cowardice. You see, I've discovered that cowards play mind games with themselves and tell themselves that somehow they're still winning. Because cowardice has more to do with denial and delusion than even cowardice. A coward is so afraid that they're about to be marched into a pit and shot in the back of the head that they run in and hold their hat and even bow politely to those that are about to shoot them, when I would have already attacked the people long before and wouldn't be in that position. Or if they would have somehow gotten me to that sandbank and that mass grave full of bodies that were already shot and were telling me and 10 more guys to run down there and be shot, I probably would act groveling, and then I would leap at someone and rip their throat out. Not because I'm a tough guy, but because I'm an animal, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in my natural form or close to it, which they've tried to engineer out of you. Any mammal out there, when cornered, will get its hair up and get its teeth out and will attack you in a piranha mode. Not because a raccoon's tough or strutting around acting tough. Not because a wolf is tough. Not because a bear is tough. Not because a badger is tough. It's just going to fight you. And we've got to get to that point and rediscover, when we're cornered under attack, to not cower and roll over. Because, ladies and gentlemen, rolling over is not going to protect you unless you're a possum. And by the way, the possum's one of the only animals, a marsupial, that can roll over and a lot of times not be eaten. And do you know why they do that? Do you know why they do that? Because they secrete out of glands something that smells like they're poisonous and sick. That's the other part of the equation. So it works for them some of the time because they stink so bad. They don't smell tasty. So rolling over doesn't protect you. And from birth, everybody's taught to comply. I watch. I people watch. And they're childlike. They're goofy. They're giggly. They just want everything to be happy. And you know what? That is a recipe. That's the equivalent of going off the coast of San Diego for a month straight and dumping rotten chicken blood in the water. Do you know what will come if you roll over and act like a limp-wristed, chicken-necked coward who just begs to have their life run? The biggest, baddest, meanest shark is going to swim 50 miles if they have to and will show up. You dump blood in the water long enough, big old sharks are going to show up. And we don't have a Bill of Rights or Constitution or Declaration of Independence anymore. We don't have a shark cage anymore. You are swimming around in the ocean, in the Pacific Ocean, off the coast of California, filled with great white sharks, in a giant sack of rotten fish heads and monkey guts. And that's why you're in so much trouble, because you are a mark. This whole country is seen by the globalist as the dumbest, most prepared to be raped people the world has ever seen. And you know why you were the dumbest and the most ready to be raped? Because we were the freest, so we produced so much wealth, we became spoiled brats. And now it is a religion to be a spoiled brat. It is a religion. People wear it like an armor. I told the story on the radio yesterday, but I'll tell it briefly and go to your calls. I wanted to surprise the Sunday crew, and I'd never gone to this. I'd eaten it before, but I'd never gone there. I always tell stories in too much detail. There's this soup peddler place that has soup and sandwiches. So I pull in there. I put in the order. I'm sitting there waiting about 10 minutes for it. And like five copies of my magazine are left from, I guess, 100 that got left there a few days before. Pretty darn good. The other publications were big stacks. So my newspaper / magazine's almost gone. I go, yeah, let me read that. I'm like, oh, this is the edition, the first run that had typos in it. Oh, let me look at that. So I'm opening it up, and I'm sitting there like this. And some people walk up and pick up one of the copies, go, ooh, Alex Jones, cool. They don't see me sitting there because my hair is all disheveled. I'd been swimming laps and exercising. My wife had left with the kids. I'd gone over there about to go to work. You got changed here at the office, but side issue. I'm all disheveled, sunglasses on, hair in my face, sitting out there in the 100-degree heat, loving every minute of it. And they're like, oh, cool, Alex Jones. This guy and his girlfriend go over and order, blah, blah, blah. But then a little trendy comes over with his girlfriend, and he goes, ooh, no, oh, no, not an Alex Jones magazine. Ugh. And all of a sudden, they're looking at it, and I'm right here by the racks, by the little area outside to sit. There's no inside at that place. And he goes, ooh, ooh, and sees me. Ooh, actually makes a little, because they make that as their call that I've rolled over, I've given into everything, I'm complying. Just like that Facebook, cue it up, folks, the Facebook face deals, where the guy goes, oh my gosh, it's so fun to be background scanned by Defense Department. He was talking, he goes, oh my god, he makes a little, and he turned, literally, and I'm going, and I don't even look at him. I just hear him going, and she goes, what? Because she makes the noise, like we're groveling, kill us. You know, the New World Order wants to kill us. We want to be killed. We're cool. We want Plandopolis. So they make the noise. We're dehumanized. And they turn and start whispering, making these noises. They're going, that's him. And they're going, and they start going, hee. So I get my stuff at the trendy place, just on the way to work, and I'm getting in my car, and they're laughing at me as I'm getting in my car, and they're waiting for their food, and I'm putting the food in, the soup in and stuff, and I turn back, and they've got hula hoops, because I guess they have a little trendy area there for hula hooping, and they're sitting there hula hooping and giggling at me, and I thought, that is the spirit of the New World Order. I don't want them drinking fluoride. I don't want foreign banks robbing them. I don't want world government. And they are laughing at me, hula hooping, getting into the fact that they don't care about anything. And so this is their God. This is what mind control is. Here it is.
Check-ins gone mainstream. Check-ins provide a powerful mechanism for businesses to deliver discounts to loyal customers.
Back but this up. If you're watching on TV, the way the woman walks, these trendies all walk like a robot. On purpose, with their hands at their side, and the nerdlier you can, it's like nerds have taken over.
Ourselves, and they're going. Check-ins gone mainstream. Check-ins provide.
And they're going to show you that the world is theirs, and they're going to force you with this stuff in your face. Please turn it off. But I mean, but it actually shows in the video, and I'm telling you, in Austin, in the trendy areas, this is exactly how they act. They even walked the same and everything. I went, and I'm just like, my gosh, these are victims. It felt good to be laughed at by them at a certain level, but also bad for them. Oh, my gosh, Alex Jones. Oh, no. And he went, and dropped it like, Yeah, reality is invading, punk, and it ain't going away. All right, I'm done. I'm going to stop ranting. Get it? At Infowars.com/newsletter. Sign up for it. Just put your email in. Not even a name is needed. And we will send you this and then pay it forward. Send it on to everybody else. That's the digital copy. Okay, let's go ahead and talk to Ernest in Washington. I'm sorry to digress, but that's a true story I just told you. Both the guy confronting me about exposing the fluoride in their water at CVS, the manager, and the people upset that I have a magazine. What do you think of that?
Oh, hello?
Yes, Ernest. You're on the air worldwide, sir.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Well, I'll tell you, my own personal experience with Facebook, when the Iowa caucuses started, I was a fervent Ron Paul supporter.
And
for my posts, they suspended me for 90 days, got me through the caucuses and everything quite nicely. That really wasn't what I was calling about, though. What I was calling about is I've recently moved to the state of Washington out to the coast. I bought e-foods. I have my own garden. I collect oysters and clams and berries.
That's not trendy.
Off of the grid. No, I'm sorry. But there's no birds here, Alex. And I was wondering if you know anything how the radiation from Fukushima is affecting that out here.
Yeah, no, the seals, we told everybody, just not that I'm a scientist, I had scientists on, but we could see the first currents from the, what was it, East Coast, but then it's actually to the east. On the coast side, the side facing the Pacific of Fukushima, we knew it would take about 2-3 months for that to get to Alaska first. Now it started hitting. Well, tell you what, stay there. We're going to come back. This is a very important subject that you've raised. We'll get Farrah on at 8 after, so we'll have a segment and another segment with CJ and Ghost and Jerry and Denise and others. We'll come back to Ernest and talk about this. Yeah, the airline pilot's hair pretty much all falling out in Alaska. The seals are dying. The fish are dying. Again, I start ranting and raving because I'm like a raccoon that you come in the garage and it looks at you. You ever left your garage open, you walk in, there's a big old raccoon sitting there. It looks real friendly and slow. But if you start aggressively coming over towards it, it will hiss at you and rush at you, snapping and clawing. And so I'm just a normal mammal, bunch of tyrants running things. I'm hissing and clawing and snapping because I'm got a survival instinct. And, yeah, guys, will you actually pull up or print, since he mentions it, seals dying, hair falling out of airline attendants. I'll be unpolitically correct, stewardesses. And their hair's fallen out, and radiation levels have gone up. And it turned out that yellow and bluefin tuna had already come across the ocean. And just 4 months after Fukushima, the feds were testing the fish and still letting you eat it. Just huge levels of different radioactive isotopes because 5 reactors blew up, 3 of them completely. Much bigger than Chernobyl. But hey, back then, you know, they said take precautions. Now they just said, hey, we're raising the level of what's safe. After all, that's what's trendy. That's what's cool, is to not be threatened by real threats, but to be threatened by fake threats and to have no common sense. You know, like, here's the, I'm talking about this with Joseph Farrah. Britain and U.S. plan a Syrian revolution from the innocuous office block in Istanbul. Here's another one. Libyan commander admits fighters are al-Qaeda. So that's London Telegraph, too. So, I mean, it's all admitted. But I need to give my rights up because al-Qaeda, who the government got on the plane with the underwear bomber drugged and who the government criminally runs. But I'm not supposed to be able to make that distinction. Hey, you run al-Qaeda, but I need to give my rights up. You just want to take my rights. You're criminal. Or, hey, radiation levels went up all over the U.S., but you just raised them and said they're safe. See, we've entered the elite themselves are delusional. I'm sorry, Ernest. Ernest, you're on the air. Finish your point about no birds there. A lot of that's the aluminum dioxide. Bird numbers are way down. A lot of the trees on the West Coast are dying. And it's all part of the geoengineering program we're going to talk about in the third hour. It's real sad that aluminum levels in the soils are going up everywhere. But don't worry, Monsanto is going to come out with every tree and plant there is with new seeds that have been engineered to survive it. Isn't that nice of them?
That's wonderful, Alex. Yeah, you know, the situation is that we've had this property for a number of years. There's always been finch, blue jays, thrush, robins. There's none of those this year.
That's a conspiracy theory. I told you in the future, if someone says women once breastfed, they'll be arrested. I'm not joking. If people in the future say that humans ever walked without robotic aid, they'll be arrested. But, I mean, lifetime neural implants won't even let you say it in the future, which they're now announcing. It's over. Humans aren't going to space. It's the end of humanity. The globalists plan on exterminating everybody except for a few of them that are going to merge with computers. That's their stated plan. Yes, they're killing everything.
Well, and the other thing is, with the weather manipulation, they've managed to make it so my tomatoes are just flowering now. My pumpkins are just flowering now. Everything is behind at least 2 months in my garden. So whether I'm going to get anything by the time the season's over or not, we'll see.
Well, I mean, they said weather would be used as a weapon, State Department Random 200, and they are, and they admit they're chemtrailing and doing everything they can. And don't worry, they're coming out with hundreds of GMO crops that'll only be able to grow. So isn't that a nice thing by them? I mean, they're good people.
Well, my tomatoes have a lot of pretty flowers, that's all I can say.
Well, sir, you need to just understand that the New World Order knows best. These are good people. So drink lots of fluoride. You live near Oregon, go drink some. They're going to pay to have you drink it.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're continuing with your phone calls. Big article just went up at Infowars.com. Prisoner training, Austin kids to be tracked with GPS devices. Parental responsibilities eviscerated as state takes over. Let's go to CJ in Michigan. CJ, you're on the air. Welcome, sir.
Hey, brother. Thank you. I hear you going back and forth, you know, contemplating Obama, Mitt Romney, and the choice and this and that. I really haven't got where you're at. What are you going to do? Are you going to vote for one? My take on it is, you know, voting for anyone, it's consenting to it. And I just can't consent to this tyranny. So the lesser of two evils to me, I just never got into that.
Well, there's two schools of thought. Obama gets back in, they accelerate things so fast that people finally completely wake up. That's probably why the ruling class is now switching over to Obama. Romney. I can't even get his name straight. There we go. That wasn't on purpose. I couldn't even figure out his name. O'Romney, 2012. The establishment is shifting over to Romney because they know they can't get their agenda through with Obama anymore. But some are saying that they're going with Romney because they are actually scared of Obama, that he's even moving too quickly. But the reason we see all this happening is because the ruling establishment, who are monopoly people, who are anti-free market, who make their money off corporate welfare and want to be able to shut down their competition, they are running the show. This is what they want. It's just that now they're in such control that they can't control themselves. And so it's more of a battle within the ruling class. How far do they want to go? Because once you have a criminal system, the worst individuals in the criminal hierarchy are who will steer the boat. And so it's a race to the bottom. And so, listen, I didn't vote in the 2008 election because I said it's clear Obama's the chosen prince. There'll be election fraud if he isn't. And John McCain is just there as a placeholder like Bob Dole in 1996 with Clinton. And so, again, it's all theater. The only other issue is, as Joe Farah has said, and he's about to come on, when Bush was in, I could say anything about him and didn't really have a bunch of dirty tricks go on. I have had dirty tricks when Obama's been in. And I have had them come after me. I've had their surrogates say I should be shut down, try to connect me to cop killing for Media Matters and the Southern Poverty Law Center and others. And I've had a lot of other stuff, you know, behind the scenes go on. So when Joe Farah just says, hey, they've already put you in the Republican camp because you're for guns and against abortion. And that's true. At a sophisticated level, the power structure sees me as a conservative libertarian constitutionalist because I am for freedom. And at least in rhetoric, look at the Republican platform. A lot of great libertarian constitutional stuff. The Texas Republican platform is excellent. It's like I wrote it. It's like a John Birch Society document, but they don't follow it. So because my rhetoric, which I actually stand for, is similar rhetoric to the Republicans, the leftist power structure that's a big part of the New World Order sees me as the enemy. And so whether I join Romney or not, I've already been put in with Romney. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, I mean, what do I do? because the system already sees me that way. So I just kind of stand out here. Oh, well, I don't like Romney either, but I'll guarantee. I mean, I've been through Republicans and Democrats, and Democrats go after their opposition because they're more of a mafia Chicago, New York style because they came up from the gutter. Republicans are more blue blood criminals who do it all with a parlance through the power structure. I'll ask that question of Joe Farah straight ahead. And those of you that are holding, you'll get to address your question to myself or Joe Farah. We're going to take some calls with Joe today on a host of issues. We're going to cover the Syria situation with Al-Qaeda. We're going to cover the Iran situation, election 2012. It's all coming up with the editor, owner-in-chief of WorldNet Daily, Joseph Farah.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Now, for the rest of the hour here on this Monday edition, we're going to be talking to Joseph Farah, the editor-in-chief of WorldNet Daily. I am Alex Jones, your host, and we have got Obama coming out in an Associated Press interview saying that Romney's ideas are extreme. Really? I mean, I thought Romney was almost just like Obama. Carbon taxes, open borders, abortions, assault weapons bans. I mean, now he says he's different, but in action, he's pretty much like Obama. So what is Obama talking about there? We have got massive draconian gun control legislation at the state level in multiple East Coast states, seeking to get rid of the manufacturer in those states. We're going to be going over that. We have got so much to cover here today, but I wanted to get Joseph Farah on to give us his take on election 2012 and where he sees it going. What another 4 years of Obama versus Romney would look like. But then I want to get into a report he put out a few days ago, headlined at WND.com, When Israel Strikes Iran in October. So now he's saying when they strike. And I've never seen the war more green-lighted. It's been green-lighted before and then backed off. But from every source, it looks like it's going that way. And I want to see how that ties in with the London Telegraph now admitting what I reported 9 months ago when the Syria destabilization began, that Britain and the U.S., or the banks that run us and run our military, are running al-Qaeda and are trying to overthrow Syria. I'm no fan of Assad, but, man, this is al-Qaeda. That is admitted as the main fighting force. And all of that is going on. And now they're saying that they're wonderful freedom fighters when they go in and strap men in cars with bombs and say, we're going to kill your family if you don't go blow up a police checkpoint. I mean, this is on television now, and our media is like, isn't torture good? Isn't secret arrest good? Isn't al-Qaeda good? The CFR 3 weeks ago, one of their writers said, quote, we need al-Qaeda. So talk about a new level of immorality. I know Joseph Farah is there in Virginia. He has a lot of sources now in the military-industrial complex, and he could tell us what he thinks the grand strategy is and where all of this is going, all the preparations for collapse, you name it. Joseph Farah is founder, editor, and CEO of WorldNet Daily, a nationally syndicated columnist for Creator Syndicate. He is the author of, co-author of 13 books, including his latest, The Tea Party Manifesto, and his classic, Taking America Back, now in its third edition and 14th printing. Farah is the former editor of the legendary Sacramento Union and other major market dailies. And he joins us now to break all of this down. He also set up the Western Journalism Center. We'll talk about the attempts to censor the web as well and have an internet tax by the FCC that Google and others want. Yeah, because it shuts down their competition. All of that and more with Joseph Farah today. But first off, I know we got you on a few minutes early and you heard that caller, or if you didn't hear, the caller was saying, well, what do you do if Romney and Obama are basically the same but different rhetoric? Do you morally not vote for Romney? And because it almost acquiesces or gives credence to it. And I see that point. But then what do you do when you're somebody like Joseph Farah or Alex Jones, where even though you said, hey, don't vote for McCain or Obama 4 years ago, you were put in the camp by the Obama people and they've gone after you. So, yes, I'm put in the camp of Romney, even though I'm not in it. What do you say to all that?
Well, Alex Jones, I listened to your response to that caller, and I have to tell you that was a very coherent, concise, articulate response, and it really resonates with you know what I'm thinking, what's in my soul in this election. Yeah, as you know, in 2008, we were both you know, none of the above people, and right now we're wrestling with survival. You know, my thought back in 2008 was, hey, you know what? I mean, if what's the difference? Flip a coin. I knew that Obama was going to be a more tyrannical kind of repressive president. You know, clamping down on liberty in more dramatic ways, faster. But, you know, I also thought, well, maybe that's, you know, maybe Americans need that as a wake-up call. Because, you know, you can take the slow road, you know, to hell, and people don't even recognize where you're going. But sometimes, you know, being on the highway to hell, people say, hey, time to do a U-turn. And I thought we saw a little bit of that, you know, in the 2010 election. Obviously, there was, you know, we had the Tea Party movement that arose, so you know, I think that that feeling was somewhat validated. But then again, Alex, I have to say, I think to a great extent, the Tea Party movement was hijacked by special interests. And in 2012, I don't know; it's yet to be determined how much of a force they're going to be. But I think you're right. We've got a limited choice here. I mean, there's what they used to say, not a dime's worth of difference. But there is, because as I mentioned the last time I was with you, I think, and I hope I'm not just, you know, justifying my own gut instincts here and my own self-preservation, but I really believe that if Obama's reelected, there is no chance for turning this country around. No chance whatsoever. And so, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, endorsing Mitt Romney for president on your show here. But I do believe that for people like you and me and liberty activists across this country, we do need a little breathing room in the next 4 years.
Well, here's another example.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Paul, who did not endorse McCain 4 years ago, has come out with a limited endorsement saying, I won't fully endorse Romney. But that shows how bad Obama is, that the sense is he's gotten all his criminals in place. And so even rearranging deck chairs, it'll take the bureaucracy a while to kind of get its new scams in place with Romney, but that with Obama not facing re-election, he will drop the hammer. And even if Romney's horrible, he'll at least be facing re-election.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah, you think about what a lame duck second term administration of Obama will be like. No guardrails, you know. And so, as I said in a program the last time I was on with you, for people like Alex Jones and Joseph Farah, I got to tell you, I'm being very honest with you. I think if Obama's reelected, guys like you and me are either going to be in jail or going to be dead. I think the chances for doing a U-turn in terms of American policy, preserving freedom and so forth, we may be on an irreversible course with 4 more years of Obama.
What do you make of all of the amazing stories where they're coming out and saying the Army's training to take on a Tea Party insurrection that links up with Al-Qaeda and Army training for gun confiscation? I mean, these are confirmed manuals that are out there, just incredibly seditious.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it ties in, you know, people may think this is far-fetched, right? But then you look at the facts we know for sure about, you know, Fast and Furious, an operation like that. And we say, you know, if the government can get away with that, if the Obama administration can get away with that, the most powerful people in the world, just the facts on the table, and there's no accountability whatsoever. What happened to that congressional investigation? Well, you know what happened to the to those subpoenas? Where are the calls for impeachment by the Republicans? It just withered and died on the vine. And so, you know, I think that when you see that, you see that people were killed, gunned down through an official action ordered by the president. By the way, he was taking credit for Fast and Furious before it became, you know, a scandal. And you know, so it's mind-boggling, Alex. We just got to be very, very careful. I'm so proud of you for getting the word out about these things. You're doing a great job, and I'm just hoping that more of the American people become aware of what's happening, how our liberties are being trampled underfoot.
Expanding on that, it came out over a year ago, as you know, even in Politico, but they were reporting on like it was cute, that Media Matters, funded by the White House and George Soros, had infiltrated News Corp and other media, and of course you're on their radar, I'm on their radar, and said, we're going to sabotage and destroy people from within. It's our job to destroy organizations from within. This is like a foreign army or something. And they don't even get in trouble. They don't lose their 501c3. That is the difference. It shows you that these are real zealots who really do want to silence their opposition.
Yeah, there's a totalitarian mindset here that it's hard for people like us to even understand. You know, it's so foreign to the way we think. This is what we're dealing with. This is the mentality of you know, people in the White House today. It's the mentality of the, you know, if you talk about the ruling class, there's also a ruling culture out there, you know, from the media establishment. Certain things you can't talk about. They're perfectly comfortable with submitting their questions to, you know, the president and even to Romney now. When they do interviews with Romney, they're already submitting their quotes back to Romney. It's just a crazy mess.
Total sheepish lapdog mentality. I want to come back and ask you, because I don't even know what's number one on your radar, what's front and center on Joseph Ferris' plate. Then we're going to look at the rise of Al-Qaeda as an ally of the West. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Your calls are coming up here in about 15 minutes. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, as well as video. We stream of the radio show and the nightly news show at PrisonPlanet.tv. And we are fighting the construction of a prison planet. This is a short segment I want to get into. The October surprise and the intel that Joseph Farah has. I mean, he has it right here in his headline, when Israel strikes Iran in October. So we'll get that exclusive info, and it is an exclusive that Joseph's going to give us here, and tie that into Al-Qaeda. Now we're being told how wonderful they are, bringing down Libya and now trying to bring down Syria. But when I was at his office covering Bilderberg in June, because he's there in Virginia, just a few miles away, he said, hey, have you ever seen a drone? I said, no, I haven't seen one in person. And then a week later after I left, his house in a rural area got buzzed. Driving into work a few weeks ago, I stopped, saw one right over the highway. Highway Department had a drone out there. So massive proliferation. We'll have to talk about that a little bit later. Why not now? I mean, wow, there is this big rollout of our tax money to militarize against us. And now TSA on the streets everywhere, Joseph.
See a police state, Alex. You should be here with me in Tampa. You know, first of all, we have the hurricane threat and lots of concern about that, and of course the convention and demonstrations. But the there's National Guard all over the street. I mean, you can't get within a mile or two of the convention center.
I wish they'd make the border like that.
Isn't that amazing? It's a great point, but you know, you stop, you're walking on the street, you know, in my case, in a suit and tie, you're going to be, you know, asked where you're going, all this kind of stuff. And it's really, it just reminds me, you know, of how we've lost the America that you and I knew as kids. And so it's...
And they do that on purpose. They have these national security events worldwide and just use it to promote the police state and the end of due process. But we were talking during the break. You said your power was out yesterday there in Tampa?
Yeah, it was a limited thing, and my hotel was completely out for about 4 hours. And that was lovely. And all the whole time I'm thinking, what am I doing here? There's nothing going on. There's absolutely no news here. I should be home. I'd know more about what was going on. I got, you know, you lose power, you got to...
Oh, yeah, you can dial in on 100 different video feeds, watch all the other people. That's why I never go anywhere, because I can just sit right here and have the whole world.
Yeah, good call. I didn't do it in 2008. I forgot I had done it in 2004 and felt like I was, you know, you're supposed to be in the center of things when you're covering an event like that. But you don't have the perspective you have when you're, you know, on the internet.
Sure. I mean, in 2004, I got to walk around and had my seat and my press passes and got to see Arnold Schwarzenegger talk about protecting UND Homeland, which was very surreal. A guy talking about the homeland in a German accent when it's, you know, fatherland. And I got to, you know, see old man Bush creeping around. I mean, big deal. I mean, I guess it's only good to get interviewed by media. The only reason you'd want to go is to get interviewed. And I did get on a bunch of national TV. So, I mean, I guess it is okay for that if you want to get publicity, which is important for any media organization.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to do is be here to help support Aaron Klein, who's got a big book out there, and see if I get help him get that media. But, you know, it's a media zoo here. I mean, because everybody's here that the media wants to talk to. And so the shows are all, you know, booked up in advance. So it's strategically, it's probably not the best thing.
Hey, but at least you get to experience a hurricane. How's the weather? Is it raining?
No, it's past us now. It's headed up towards the Gulf. Looks like New Orleans is going to be hit hard again, which is, you know, just tragic.
Can you image Obama in there with his joystick controlling the hurricane?
It's going to be interesting if it does hit New Orleans and we've got another disaster on our hands, you know, how quickly he responds. Remember all the crap they gave Bush for not responding. But, you know, this is a real management crisis when you have...
Well, I wouldn't give Bush trouble for the feds not doing a good job. That's just to be expected. The gun confiscation was the issue there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Stay there. Let's get into Iran. Let's get into Al-Qaeda and then phone calls. Joseph Farah is our guest, WND.com. I, of course, am Alex Jones of Infowars.com. And they also have a magazine. You can find out about that there on their site as well. Sorry, our magazine is sold out. 36,000 copies in 36 hours sold out. But you can get the e-copy at Infowars.com/newsletter. We'll send you an e-copy.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We've got it.
The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones. Coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
You know, I really should be covering this hurricane more because it does look just like Katrina. They're saying even worse, Hurricane Isaac. And I know it was hitting Florida yesterday and now is out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. And it's looks like it's gaining steam, not losing it. So get ready. But here's another example of how government can't and won't protect you. I want to get into the geopolitical with Joseph Farah of WorldNetDaily.com or WND.com. But We can play the clips here. In fact, I know what I'm going to cover on the nightly news tonight. It's gun confiscation at Katrina, because that's a scary thing that they jammed the police communications, cut down their towers because the feds wanted to control it, blocked good agencies like the Coast Guard, even state police and police from other areas, thousands of firefighters that wanted to help, wouldn't let people walk out on the highways, made them go to the Superdome, and then went to some of the most expensive houses in the country. We're talking like $10 million mansions, you know, classical architecture. And I guess Georgian style, you'd call it, you know, the big columns, the rest of it. Because I have a book on architecture, and those houses are actually in there. And it showed them on the news going in and taking the guns out of their gun safes. Houses with generators. Houses with rich people in them. And the reason I raise that is they could argue and make excuses that in some crime-ridden areas, that we thought criminals were in this building, so we went in to see if there were felons and ran their background, and they weren't felons, so good, here's your gun, protect yourself. But when they made a beeline for the rich neighborhoods and looted them, and most people never got their guns back, and that was under Bush. And now we have the Army manuals from that time. They've been training for gun confiscation during emergencies. So what do you expect the Army to do during an emergency? The same training they have for Fallujah, it's now been declassified, is the training for America. And Joseph Farah, you know, just like I was on a cruise ship when Katrina came in. My first cruise, I went on with my wife, and I had one child at the time. And we were dumb. We didn't know you don't go on a cruise in hurricane season, but it was real cheap. We went. And on the way back, here comes Katrina, and it chases us into Galveston. There were 30-foot waves, water coming in the huge ship. They had most of the decks closed. The staff were all, you know, scared looking at the television sets. And I, for a week, you know, felt like I was rocking back and forth trying to get my land legs back. But I'm ranting here. The point is, no one knew how big that would be. And I experienced Katrina. Well, imagine this. I mean, it's sneaking up on us. What do you make of what's going to happen if it does hit? That could be turnabout as fair play. If it ruins another big city and then Obama can't respond, there goes all of their partisan politics over it.
Yeah, I mean, they're still talking about, you know, Bush's mishandling of Katrina. And as you point out, a lot of it's deserved. They don't really zero in on the real problems, like gun confiscation, but rather, you know, like the federal government is supposed to take care of every problem that arises in our country. That's the expectation that we all have now. But, as you point out, this hurricane really hasn't hit. The last land it hit was Haiti. Missed Cuba, didn't hit the coast of Florida. And so it's, you know, operating in these warm waters, it's headed right. If it stayed on a perfectly straight target right now, it would hit New Orleans. And, it potentially is another 7 years, almost to the day, by the way. It looks like it will hit 7 years to the day of Katrina, August 29th, 7 years ago. So it's kind of spooky. I'm sure they're preparing evacuations and everything right now. And, aren't we lucky to have a great manager in the White House like Barack Obama to do it?
Since he said that nobody built anything in this country but government, then I guess he'll be the only one like Superman. He could fly into the storm and maybe knock it off course himself, because only government can fix it.
Yeah, and I want everybody to remember that line when he starts telling you about all the things he's achieved over the last 4 years, you know, using our money and, all the power of the federal government, but he will be claiming those as personal achievements. But you and I, who've actually done things in the private sector, taken risks, built businesses, we didn't do that. He did that. Of course, he probably wouldn't claim credit for anything you or I did.
Well, I had one of your writers, Mr. Rocker, on last week, and he made the point, no, Mr. President, I got myself into the major leagues, you didn't. And I can say right now, I got where I'm at today with my focus, my dedication over 17 years, and my listeners supporting me, but it's because they shared my views. And it's very insulting at a fundamental level to have somebody who's only worked and lived inside government and had people ghostwrite his books and hasn't worked, I guarantee you, 18 hours a day like I have many, many times, hundreds of times. It is very irritating to hear that. And let me ask you this question, Joseph Farah. If a listener's just joined us, editor and owner of WorldNetDaily.com. I know he has speechwriters who write some pretty good speeches for his teleprompters. And he looked like he was on a teleprompter when he gave that speech, and it turned out he'd given it several times before it got picked up on. What is the disconnect with the people in his administration to write that? Or do you have any info, being in Virginia by D.C., of who came up with that? Or do they think this country is so communist now that it's time to go ahead and start talking like Karl Marx?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're collectivists, and they want to implant that collectivist mentality in as many people as they can. I think they figure we're at that point right now. Look at the polls, Alex. I mean, you know, right now it's the latest polls show an even split between Romney and Obama. The only difference between them, as you point out, really, is that, you know, one is more collectivist than the other. One, you know, Obama doesn't. There's not even a pretense anymore to believing in, you know, free enterprise and that sort of thing, self-government, limited government. There's a pretense, at least, on the other side in the Republican platform, which, of course, is going to be meaningless once Romney's elected. But I think that's it. I mean, I think that Obama is, what was the old saying, you know, back in the days of the Soviet Union, two steps forward, one step back. I think what's going to happen in this election is we're going to take one step back. I think, and you know what? It's for us, I believe it's the best thing. Even though it may be planned, and I think you're right about the globalists have backed off on the support that they gave Obama in 2008 because they perceive probably that he's moving too fast and he's exhausted whatever you know, potential he had to advance their cause. He's become a liability. So let's switch to the guy who's going to take us one step back.
But we know the power structure is made up of different pieces. It's not one monolith. We know the ultra-rich, on average, are predatory, that want to shut down the people they don't control. And so that's where the real fight's going on here. But he could stage a big false flag. He did Fast and Furious. He could do anything to pull his bacon out. We've had all those Democratic advisors talk about how much a terror attack like 9/11 or Oklahoma City would help them. They've said veterans and libertarians and conservatives are the new enemy. We could see them kind of framing that in the public's mind, preparing the ground. Or they could use a big war as a way to get us to rally around the president. Then there are real terror attacks, a response by Iran or others, or manufactured. People rally around the commander-in-chief. He gets back in, uses the war as a clampdown mechanism. Let's move to your sources that right now it looks like the green light's on.
Yeah, I think so. And part of it, Alex, these politics, international politics, are very complicated. Israeli politics are very complicated, more so even than U.S. politics. You know, I've spent a lot of time there. But in Israel today, where you rarely have a consensus, a political consensus among leadership, the population, and so forth, there is a consensus now. And keep in mind, this is where it comes from. 60 years ago, half the Jewish population of Europe was exterminated. They get their own state, and they now they're faced with a country that is, you know, developing nuclear arms. And every single day, some mullah or some political leader in Iran is saying, "We're going to kill the Jews. We're going to this is the weapon that we're going to use to destroy the Jewish state and the remnant that survived the Holocaust." So this has bred a consensus in Israel that something has to be done. The only question is when. And this is how it affects us, because the when has a lot to do with this election. And here's my take on it. Right now, we don't know who's going to win the presidency, right? But they... In Israel, if there's a significant chance that they see Obama being reelected in 2012, then they're going to roll the dice before the election. They're going to take Iran's nukes out or try to before the election, which means October. It really, they're going to wait until the last minute. They're not going to do it in September. It's going to happen in October. So we're in the, you know, they always talk about an October surprise. This is a very predictable October surprise. And it changes the dynamics of the election because, you know, does it make people less likely to throw out an incumbent that they're really not too happy with? You look at his, approval ratings, and they're abysmal. But do you change horses in midstream? I'm sure there's some people who are going to say that's not a good idea. Because if Israel, you also have to look at how Israel might do this. They may use tactical nuclear weapons. You know what that means. This is like a major, humongous international crisis.
Let me ask you this. The Defense Department admits many nukes are being looked at. They've got bunker busters that carry nukes. Russia's threatening, lining up weapons. Why are the mullahs and the ayatollah making statements like, we're going to wipe the Zionists off the map? Why are they doing that when they could back off and not have the war?
Why are the Iranians doing that?
Yes.
You know, it's puzzling because I think in some ways, I think there's a battle going on inside the Iranian camp. Here, Iran also feels to an extent that its back is up against the wall. You know, we tend to think of Americans think of the Muslim world. They don't understand there is not unity in the Muslim world. Iran is more fearful of Saudi Arabia than they are of Israel. They hate the Saudi more than they hate Israel. And, you know, there's a battle going on inside the Muslim world between the Shiites and the Sunnis. And what they see, this is an accurate view. I mean, they're right about this. The Saudis, to a great extent, control U.S. foreign policy. It's just that simple.
That's right. No one ever talks about Saudi Arabia. I mean, obviously, Israel's in there manipulating as well. But no one, this is when I get major heat, if you talk about Saudi power in media, you name it, in politics, it is incredible. And that's my next point. They're openly sending al-Qaeda and jihadis in with NATO backing to bring down Libya, to bring down Syria. Iran sees this and understands they're 20% of the population, Shiite. They see the Sunnis taking over, backed up by the great Satan. And so here is the United States and NATO, allied with al-Qaeda, against the Shiites. And then Israel's being threatened by Iran, and so they want to attack. I mean, this is like a Mexican standoff.
It would not be an exaggeration to say that the U.S. military has been doing the bidding of the Saudis all along. When we're involved in Iraq and Kuwait and now in Syria, you say, well, what are the national interests the U.S. has in these operations? And they're very hard to figure out. But the Saudi interests are clear. And when every president leaves office, what happens? They all get these multi-million-dollar endowments from the Saudis. It's like, it's one of the rewards of becoming a U.S. president, is when you leave office, the Saudis take care of you.
Yeah, they pay $1 million every time you give a speech. It's a public foreign government payoff. But here's my issue. I see the Saudi government begging Israel to strike Iran. And I know Israel bashing is the religion over there. Mm-hmm. But why then is Israel playing into that? And why is Saudi Arabia, how can they get away with begging Israel to attack another Muslim country? It's amazing how complex it is. And then people, in the West just want to make it Arabs, last parking lot them, not knowing how diverse it is.
Yeah. Well, what Israel does is it plays its neighbors off one another. That's how it has managed to, in addition to having a very efficient and strong military, it plays one-off politics with these folks. One day, Hamas is the bad guy and the Palestinian Authority are the good guys, and it switches every once in a while, and that's what they do. I mean, you just go look at a map. You know, Israel's a little sliver of a country surrounded by 300 million Muslims in the immediate...
But how is it going to help Israel if they attack Iran and unify Muslims and then get attacked from all sides? I guess it'll help the politicians to have a big giant war where they can all be heroes, including Obama. So Israel's going to strike, and I think it's going to put Obama in the White House.
Well, I think that if they do it in October, it strengthens Obama's hand. So if Obama looks like he's even got a very good chance of winning the election in November, I believe you're going to see this happen in October. And the reason for that is because they know that if they wait until after the election, Obama will not, he'll pull the rug out from under Israel. He can't do that before the election because Israel is popular with the American people. The American people will basically look at it as, you know, this is a country fighting for its survival. And so he...
So they think once he's a lame duck that he'll put more pressure, so...
Yeah.
It's basically pushing ahead the timetable.
Exactly.
So and what do you think is going to happen?
Throughout the Middle East right now, by the way.
Sure. I mean, it's even coming out in mainstream news. That's basically what's going on, and you've got sources as well. So what's going to end up happening? I mean, is it leaning towards war, or is it leaning away?
I was talking to Jerry Corsi about this. We're stuck here in our hotel rooms yesterday, and it's funny because, you know, he happens to be very informed in this area, and I got my own sources in this area, and he disagrees. He doesn't think Israel's going to attack before the election. I hope there's no war. I mean, I hope things can be resolved without war, but...
Obama is going to use this for a giant power grab. They've got martial law ready. Stay there. We'll take calls. Now that Ron Paul's out of the way, the New York Times can report that he had more than 10,000 people at the alternate convention Paul Fest, and Paul never even really promoted that because I guess he wanted to leave things open for Rand to get a speaking slot and things and be part of the mainline Republican Party. I guess Obama unifies everybody. Pretty amazing. You know, you can tell the establishment doesn't like Ron Paul the way they've treated him. For people that attack him and say he's establishment, they are completely off the reservation. I want to jam in a few calls from Jerry and from Rob and others here for Joseph Farah. But briefly, your take on Ron Paul. Let me stop you. We didn't have you faded up. Go ahead and start over, sir.
Yeah, I think Ron Paul has, if he's accomplished nothing else, has built an amazing foundation for the future. For his son, Rand, I think the possibilities for Rand, based on the movement that Ron Paul has built, are practically limitless. This is one of the real, I think, great developments over the last 8 years, is what Ron Paul has accomplished, a real grassroots movement.
No, you're right. I was critical of the enthusiastic endorsement of Romney, which I think was a miscalculation, if you want to get just political, by Rand. But in a way, I do see them actually winning races against people like Dewhurst and others. I actually see them getting more constitutionalist in and kind of trying to retake the Tea Party in a way. I'm seeing some real success.
Yeah, I think Rand is a little more disarming politically than Ron Paul is. I think, Ron Paul scares, even a lot of conservatives with some of his positions, the way he talks. But Rand Paul is a little bit more refined and has a kind of a quieter approach, reasoned approach. And, I don't know anybody who doesn't like Rand Paul. I mean, this is a guy who's so persuasive. He persuades establishment Republicans in the Senate to vote right. So I think he's got a tremendously bright future, and a lot of it he has to thank his dad for.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, they're not perfect, but look at the alternative. Obama, who openly says he believes citizens shouldn't be able to own guns when he was a state senator.
Right.
I mean, again, I don't believe in lesser two evils, but when you've got people that are flaming revolutionaries, we don't need to get all worked up and energized hating on people that we agree with more.
Exactly.
We need to politically get out there and wake people up. Let's jam in a call. Mm-hmm. One caller who was holding just hung up. So let's go to Jerry in Illinois. You're on the air with Joe Farah. Joseph Farah, go ahead.
Good afternoon, both of you, Alex and Joe. Very nice to talk to you. First time caller. I've been a listener for almost 2 years, and I got to thank you for opening my eyes. My question about the presidential race this year, I don't want to go and vote for Mickey Mouse again because we've been given the opportunity of voting for the worst of two evils, and I have been sick of that since 2000 and Al Gore and Bush.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do you have any ideas? I was thinking of a write-in for Ron Paul or Rand Paul even.
Well, you know, listen, we're almost on exactly the same page. 2000, I couldn't vote for either candidate. I announced that publicly. Gore was, to me, much worse than Bush. I just didn't. What convinced me, and I don't know if I mentioned this before on the air, Alex, is in 2000.
Stay there. I want to hear this. Back in 1 minute. You stay there too, Jerry.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into the third hour. We're going to look at weather manipulation and what's really going on with the chemtrail program with a filmmaker coming up. We'll continue with your calls. Talking to Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily, you were talking about what made you make up your mind. Was it in the 2000 election, 04? Go ahead.
Inclined to never voting for the lesser of two evils. And there's a distinction between voting for the lesser of two evils and, you know, listen, there's never going to be the perfect candidate out there. There's no such thing. You know, we're all even Alex Jones wouldn't be the perfect candidate. We'd find something wrong with Alex Jones. We'd find something wrong with Farah. I might not even be able to vote for myself. But in 2000, I met Bush, and he was at a very small group. He was asked this question. If a piece of legislation winds up on your desk as president and it's clearly unconstitutional, what will you do? Softball question. His answer was, how will I know if it's unconstitutional? And I was stunned, and I said, I can't vote for a guy, this guy, with that position.
No, he threw a lawyer flip-flop thing in there.
Constitutionality, you know, believing in the Constitution is critical to deserve our support.
So because he was bad, you were basically out of it.
I was out of it. And, you know, but, you know, in 2004... I listened to the Swift Boat guys, and they got my heart. And for that reason, I jumped back in and supported Bush despite all the terrible things he'd done over the previous 4 years. The principle is there, but as we talked about the last time I was on your show, Alex, I think sometimes you have to vote defensively, and this is probably one of those rare occasions where I think it's so important for us to defeat the incumbent who is, you know, marching us into a police state as rapidly as any president we've ever seen in our lifetime, that's for sure.
Well, listen, I agree overall what you're saying. My only issue is he's carrying out the agenda of the globalist, and we need to start getting people to vote locally at the state level at 50, 60% turnout.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, not 8% turnout.
Well, you know, Washington's not supposed to determine what we do as a nation, as individuals. I mean, they're supposed to be responsive to us. And the way to get them responsive to us is to do exactly what you're saying. The beautiful thing about America is we're not supposed to have a monolithic federal government that controls our local police departments.
That's right. No one can deny we don't have a giant, all-powerful state growing, and that liberties aren't being burned, and that freedoms aren't being destroyed, and that censorship isn't happening. We're going in the wrong direction, and we, all of us, need to speak up and talk about it and understand a giant army of snot-nosed collectivists who are dumber than a box of rocks are coming. Public schools are assigning mentors to all the kids, GPS trackers. They're ending the family. We are in a giant collectivist, globalist, plandopolis petri dish, and we have got to revolt against this every day in little ways. Did that answer your question, Jerry in Illinois?
Yes, it sure did, to a point. I mean, I'm getting sick of voting for Mickey Mouse as a write-it, because Mickey Mouse might have...
We all are, Now,
listen, we all are, Jerry, and I appreciate your call. Jerry, I think you should run for local office. Jerry, you should go speak out. I mean, what we're saying is it isn't all just about the presidential election. I'll be honest. I think it becomes a diversion in the final equation. And I think we're in deep trouble no matter who gets elected until we wake up out of this coma. What do you say in final comment on that, Joseph?
That's exactly what the advice I wrote back in a book in 2003, Taking America Back. Americans pay far too much attention to presidential elections and presidential politics, and they're not taking back their own community. There's amazing power in your community.
Exactly. And look, Joseph and I are covering the election because most people are looking at it and you want us to. Joseph, thank you so much for the time.
You bet.
There he goes. He's in Tampa.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
If you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, we have the National Weather Service on screen with the big Hurricane Isaac that'll be making landfall, it looks like, the next 4 or 5 hours, with the main eye making landfall. Well, we'll give you an update on that coming up in the next segment. But it's funny, last week we had filmmaker Michael Murphy. Oh, will you guys give me a copy of his film? Thank you. He made What in the World Are They Spraying? A few years ago. We have that available at InfoWarsShop.com, discounted. But now he's made Why in the World Are They Spraying? Which is really just as important a question. Well, the two go together. We know what they're spraying. I want to briefly recap that. We know why they're spraying, and I want to break that down today because this film has the admissions. There's giant secret programs. The program's existence is admitted, but the details are classified. And we sit here as a society and think that we're back in the 1900s or something. Oh, you can't control the weather. You know, Joseph Farrell was on earlier, and I was making the point of Obama with the joystick trying to steer it into Tampa. All I know is the Stanford Research Institute and the Department of Energy, as well as the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, in 1967, this is declassified 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that they could create hurricanes, kill hurricanes, strengthen hurricanes, weaken hurricanes, and steer hurricanes with old-fashioned aircraft technology. Ben Livingston, the father of weather weapons, who was, a captain back in World War II. What an amazing individual. He's still alive, last time I checked. He owns one of the, he's a meteorologist for part owner, one of the biggest weather modification companies in the U.S., you know, where ski resorts and people pay them to make sure they've got snow. You can pay the Russians to do that, the Chinese as well. But the point is that they declassified it. I got him to town. I did the interview. It's posted, hours of it, at PrisonPlanet.tv. It's extremely powerful information with Ben Livingston. And in that, in World War II, at the end of it, he was flying propeller aircraft into, not hurricanes, that's on our hemisphere, but into typhoons. Typhoons are the same as hurricanes, they're just spin the opposite direction because of the way the Earth rotates. And they can go up to, 50 miles an hour faster? And the point is he's the guy that would fly over with squadrons and flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail with 10 feet of water. He could take not even a small cloud and just turn it into a giant storm. Now they've got these antenna arrays on the ground beaming up. And countries like Dubai admit they have this and are turning the desert green. But here, like we're children, they go, fluoride isn't bad for you, kiddies. Oh, GMO's not bad for you. There's no world government, and all of this is going on. So both films are absolutely essential, and purchasing them at InfoWars Shop or InfoWarsStore.com funds our operation. But both these films are so important. And you've got G. Edward Griffin and many others in the first one, What in the World Are They Spraying? Now the new one that just came out last week, Why in the World Are They Spraying? And they also understand how important this is. They put it out free on YouTube day one, just trying to have a future for their families and children. But I suggest you get the high-quality DVD with the expanded extras as well, because that's what this is all about, is educating and informing people. And, again, I know we've got loaded phones from people earlier. We need to go through them and make sure that our guests are now, our guest callers are... Because most talk shows will just hang up on you when a new guest comes on. I like to be nice, but then I tend to keeping you on a hold, which is kind of mean. So I'm nice and I'm bad, and I apologize. We should go through and just get people that have weather modification questions or people that have been involved. Open the phone lines to meteorologists. Because in these films, they've got a lot of meteorologists as well saying things are going on that aren't normal. So the globalists want to play God because they're in a race with other governments for whoever can get the greatest super weapons. And most of the stuff that the free market created has been shelved. And that's another reason government is so incredibly arrogant right now. But you look at this hurricane, we would be weird to not say it could be government created as some type of disaster for the election. And maybe Obama's waiting to have a good response to it. That's not outside the realm of possibility. You know, my gut doesn't tell me that this is a manufactured hurricane. Katrina actually acted like that, the way even meteorologists said it sat there for a couple days and did nothing and then spun over. Very bizarre. But the point is, this stuff exists, so we've got to look at that. And joining us is filmmaker. He is the director and producer of the new film, Why in the World Are They Spraying? He's the founder and editor and CEO of Joseph Farah. Michael J. Merver is a filmmaker, political activist, and president of the Coalition Against Geoengineering. His work focuses on issues that go beyond the interest of the corporate mainstream media and includes originating and co-producing the groundbreaking documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying?, several other short films that address chemtrails, geoengineering, and other controversial political issues. Michael has been also appeared in hundreds of radio interviews, and he joins us right now. Okay, so you join us via Skype with better audio this time. Good to have you back. Recap what in the world they're spraying, and then let's look at why they're doing it. Just give it to us up front. Of course, all the interviews and proof are in the film, and what this signifies, what, from your research, the master plan is.
Well, there are a lot of master plans. In What in the World Are They Spraying? We really took an investigative look in exactly what specifically was being sprayed, and what we found was the primary ingredients of geoengineering programs, aluminum, barium, strontium, other heavy metals being found in rain tests from around the world, very high quantities. In just a couple of years, we've seen quantities go as high as 50,000%. And we really illustrated in that form both the health implications, which are just unquantifiable, and then the ecological implications of these programs. And aluminum oxide is what the primary ingredient is. Geoengineers state that that's an effective metal to spray into the sky because they state it's very reflective and very lightweight to stay up in the sky very long, but it's very harmful to humans. The increase of these programs, we've seen aluminum-related illnesses such as Alzheimer's near the Riverside County. We've seen over 260% increase of just Alzheimer's. We now have documented cases of people in their 40s with dementia in both Alzheimer's. Barium is very, very toxic to human health. When we inhale this, it gets into our system, and it lowers our immune system. So we can expect to see an increase of illnesses, cancers, other related problems. And then I've spoken to a number of physicians, some emergency room physicians, and during heavy spray days, the days The trails go back and forth, and they completely turn our sky into this milky color. The emergency rooms are packed, and people complain of irritability, headache, nausea, burning eyes. Barium increases our blood pressure, they expect to see an increase of heart attacks and strokes during these. But the ecological implications, Alex, are just unquantifiable because, again, aluminum oxide and the other primary ingredients of geoengineering programs destroy our soils. And the scientists in Northern California noticed that the forests were collapsing, organic foods were not growing, so they started to investigate a little bit. And initially, they did pH changes of the soil, and they found that the pH changes in that area, which is typically an area that has acidic soil, change between 10 to 12 times the normal amount of alkalinity. Anybody with basic science realizes that when a pH soil, the pH of a soil changes that much, you can expect any dye that required soil to grow, exactly what was happening. So they began to investigate further and again started taking rain tests. And again, the primary ingredients of geoengineering programs, aluminum, barium, strontium, which will change the pH of soil and actually essentially sterilize our soils, are being found everywhere. So again, these metals match a number of geoengineering patents, which have literally been designed to spray these metals out of airplanes. They match what geoengineers deny that they're spraying, state that they urgently want to.
Yeah, your Skype's breaking up. Maybe on the third interview, that'll be the charm. But we're going to try to keep going through this with you right now. You may want to shut down any programs that are running in the background here with the filmmaker. This couldn't be a more important subject. It couldn't be a more important area to understand because, I was making a chemtrail film before you guys made yours. That's why I'm glad you made yours, because I was so busy I never got around to it. But expanding on this, there's hundreds of patents, and there's all these different agencies doing it, and they admit it's going on. They just are classifying the specifics, and they're trying to dominate the weather while manipulating our soils at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And weather control is a very effective tool to consolidate an enormous amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of a few. And if we go with geoengineers are stating they want to do this for, as they state, it's to mitigate global warming. So dispersing aerosols into our sky will block the sun. And, we looked into that. And yes, dispersing aerosols into our sky will reflect the sunlight. So regionally, temporarily, it will create cooling. But we have found a number of studies, university studies, a couple of studies by NASA, not that I'm a big NASA fan or believe everything that NASA puts out, but these studies indicate putting aerosols will, again, temporarily, regionally cooling, but those aerosols act as a blanket at night and trap heat. And Alex, in the past 10 to 15 years, when these programs have really ramped up, we've seen a great increase in nighttime highs. So the question really that we've been asked is, why is this going on? A lot of people, we connected a lot of dots in the first film. So we got emails, hundreds of them, every day. And the answer isn't so simple. Our agenda can be fulfilled by putting aerosols into our sky. But weather control seems to be the number one agenda. We met with the first interview was actually with former 20-year weatherman Scott Stevens. And he explained to us how the aerosols work in conjunction with the storms. But what really led us in that direction...
Stay there. I want to hear about that when we get back.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It couldn't be a bigger subject. We know they put chemicals in our water, GMO designed to sterilize us in our food. That's in all the major studies. Well, they're also manipulating the weather. And Aaron's actually got it in a big file. We did a special report on it. What was it, 1992? A scientist won a Nobel Prize for spraying aluminum dioxide in the atmosphere to manipulate things. NASA says the Earth's between 22 and 31% darker, especially over the industrialized world, with the trails. But they say, oh, the ice crystals are doing it. Okay, well, when I was a child, you watch the trail go by, you watch it dissipate in 30 seconds to a minute. Now I watch them sit there for hours and create a haze. And people say, well, it's special spray planes doing it. Well, we know government and corporations have those. And we know that's going on. There have been government programs with helicopters spraying, you know, white blood cells on cities. I mean, there's been all sorts of crazy stuff admitted. Releasing stuff in the New York subway. That's in the New York Times. You know, radiating foster kids, shooting people up with syphilis. And we know secret testing is the byword of this scientific elite. This mad scientist cabal that runs the New World Order. And is slowly ending the natural order and creating this Plantopolis nightmare eugenics-based system. But how are they having regular jets? Because I'll see jets at the same level, even in hot weather, leaving condensation trails, but then I'll see one at the same level not, and then I find the patents where they add it to the jet fuel, so the companies don't even know, and the patent is where the aluminum dioxide in the kerosene, the jet fuel, is aerosolized by the jet engine to where perfect compartmentalization. I mean, most cities that put fluoride in the water, they really believe it's good for your teeth. They don't know it's an admitted chemical weapon. So, from your research, how many different companies and groups are knowingly involved in this versus compartmentalized?
Well, we haven't gotten too much into who, and that's going to be the basis for my next film. But Alex, there are a number of companies that benefit and that are most likely involved. Of course, Monsanto is involved. And if you control the weather, you can literally consolidate an enormous amount of monetary and political power into the hands of a few. And we'll get into that. And it's precisely what the film was about. What we were saying before the break, what we noticed about 500 to 1,000 miles ahead of a storm. That's the days where you see the intense trailing, planes going back and forth, and the sky turns into a very milky color. So we went to interview 20-year weatherman Scott Stevens, and he explained to us some of the science behind some of this, and it's very simple science to control the weather. If you look at the main ingredient in geoengineering programs and what we're finding in rain tests around the world now, it's aluminum. Aluminum is a very effective conductor in our sky. So what they are able to do when they put up this heavy canopy of aerosol aluminum through the use of HARP technology or other technology, they literally have the ability to heat up our ionosphere or other parts of our atmosphere. And when that heats up, it actually creates a lift. And in that lifting of the atmosphere, it creates a low pressure vacuum. And they have the ability to literally steer storms into certain regions, or in the case of this summer here in the United States, out of certain regions. And if you look back at some of the science, and geoengineers are very open about the way that their aerosols react with water molecules. And I went to an aerosol research conference, spoke with many professors. They all told me the same thing, that geoengineering could be used to control our weather. So when they put those aerosols into our sky, normal evaporation that should occur does not. And we'll explain that in a second. But these particles act as what's called cloud condensation nuclei. So when the water evaporates, naturally it should connect with other water molecules, eventually condensing and falling as rain. They are not doing that. They connect with this with these fine metal particulates, and they drift. And that's one of the main reasons why here in California we're having drought conditions, because the water that should be falling here drifts over the continental divide, but it eventually has to fall, and that's the reason we're getting the intense flooding in the Midwest. Now, a real important part of this drought that we're seeing, there's no question that this summer we have an engineered drought. And many people thought they quit spraying because you look over California, over the land, we have had very few visible trails. But we looked at satellites off of the Pacific and from the equator all the way up to Alaska, heavy trailing, not any sun getting through to the water. So this is creating the drought in this capacity.
That's right. The last 16, 17 years since this really started in earnest, they've just been beta testing. Now they're getting it tweaked down. And as the State Department memorandum says, they'll use food as a weapon. They'll use weather as a weapon. Owning the Weather 2025 Pentagon document. If they'll pay $22 billion to ship General Motors out of the country, they'll pay billions to shut our farms down.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is hard to turn off a guitar that beautiful, isn't it? Best part's coming up here in a minute. I can't help it. In all the ugliness in this world, there's still the human mind that produces stuff like this. Crank it up. Man, that's ecstasy right there. Am I wrong, guys, or is that awesome? Pure awesomeness, or as the TSA would say, even more awesomer. We're going to be going back to our guest and your calls, I promise, here in just a moment. I briefly wanted to remind everybody, we are listener supported. So when you buy books, videos, t-shirts, ball caps, we got my favorite camouflage ones back in. It supports the broadcast. I am hiring 6 new reporters. 4 of them are now here. The other 2 are coming soon. I'm hiring more video people, more camera people, more equipment. I just leased another space so we can have more studios. I'm all in here because we are reaching a lot of people. Doesn't mean I do the best job in the world, but you know what? I'm the most effective just because I took action. And I want to thank all of you for your support. And I tend to plug the InfoWars health products, where you can get the longevity stuff discounted when I'm taking them, because here I am right now drinking a Polymburst Plus and my essential fatty acids that they have the best proprietary blend of, a fish oil with the key plant oils to help optimize your cholesterol, and something longevity doesn't have. They have a great seaweed, but I like the mitophyllon that we sell from New Zealand. That's available at InfoWarsShop.com or go to InfoWarsHealth.com for the others. But it is your purchases at InfoWarsHealth.com that makes the transmission possible to a great extent. And also, don't forget, you can sign up for free auto ship there. If you pay $10 extra, you can also become a distributor and get discounts on the prices you see there at InfoWarsHealth.com. We also have InfoWarsTeam.com. Okay, you got cut off by that break. That was a short segment. Continuing with the filmmaker, the director and producer of Why in the World Are They Spraying? You were getting into this drought being engineered. And Al Gore has said, pay him money for carbon, and magically Gaia will make it be wet again, and the Mississippi won't run dry. Give us your research, your evidence, the scientists you talked to in the film for this summer's drought being engineered.
Yeah, well, again, these particulates act as cloud condensation nuclei. So this summer, again, we are seeing the entire Pacific from the equator all the way up to Alaska sprayed. And to get moisture, we depend on sunshine hitting that Pacific and clouds condensing. So with this artificial coverage, we are not getting much evaporation, but the clouds that do evaporate now are attaching to the metal particulate that's being sprayed. And instead of that rain falling, it drifts. Alex, I did spend about 3 weeks this summer after Barry Kulski and I finished producing the film. Of course, the crops are just being devastated there. Everything was extremely dry. What I did notice, though, when rain was in the forecast, we would see these big, beautiful cumulus thunderheads developing, and then boom, we'd see the plane spraying back and forth, literally putting an aerosol canopy over the storms, and within about 45 minutes to an hour.
No. I've watched it in Texas where it's not planes landing at the airport. They fly in and in front of the front and kill it.
They kill the storm, it falls apart, and that moisture drifts. So without question. But, you know, the first time I heard about this, and once we started investigating, I said, why in the world would anybody want to control the weather? And we began finding monetary, like G. Edward Griffin said in the first film.
Oh, there's the Chicago Mercantile, the same one that has the carbon tax. They've now got a controlling the weather and predicting it fund.
That's right. So people now are betting on the weather. And what we found, Mike Agnew, who is a trader at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, used the example as this. Through the use of weather derivatives, which many corporations actually use to offset the risk due to adverse weather. So they can essentially bet on adverse weather conditions. So if you have a crop, let's say worth $5 million in the Midwest, but you insure it through the use of these derivatives for $10 million, you have in a financial advantage if the crop fails. So what we're seeing and what I found out, every commodity is driven by the ability to predict weather. And I'm not saying every trader who's trading these derivatives is in on this, but the people who are in cahoots, the multinational corporations who were aware of the drought agenda this summer, literally are making billions of dollars off of this this drought that we have. And then we found out it goes much deeper to financial. Now we see that natural systems are being destroyed. Of course, we have the Hegelian dialectic problem reaction solution, which I hope we'll get into in this interview. But without question, there is a financial agenda behind these damaging programs. And some people are making billions of dollars at the expense of literally, Alex, every living thing on the planet. So this is really, really serious. Some of the consequences of geoengineering: ozone depletion. We now have a huge ozone hole over the northern hemisphere. Drought conditions. We now have most of the world, if you look at the global drought monitor, most of the world is in drought, offset rain patterns. And geoengineers are very open about this. They state if we start these programs, this is what we'll see. And what was most concerning to me was the statement that one of the people at the geoengineering conference made. He stated these programs, if they start them, which they obviously have, could disrupt the food supply of over 2 billion people.
And we have the globalists saying they want to cut the food off in the memorandums, like 200 State Department, to make us starve. Basically, there's a documentary that was voiced by William Shatner called Trinity, and it shows that world nuclear testing, and the U.S. did more than anybody combined, more than the Russians, the French, the you name it combined, the British combined. And yeah, Trinity and Beyond. Thank you for correcting me, CJ. And in it, it shows over 100 tests firing high-powered hydrogen missiles, hydrogen bombs, into the upper atmosphere. And it shows old news clips, and they go, "We're trying to blow a hole in the atmosphere to see if the atmosphere will off-gas into space." And I'm going, they tried to destroy our atmosphere. And it shows one night they detonate 20-plus high-power hydrogen bombs, and they don't do mushroom clouds in the atmosphere. There's these big, giant white balls. And next, we're going to try to blow up the Van Allen radiation belt. So they fire missiles into that. It's like these. It's mad scientists. Mad scientists are in control, and they're jacking with everything. And by the way, you say, you know, they say if they did this, it would happen. Bill Gates was just dumping stuff over New Mexico last month. They've got all sorts of testing. This has been admittedly going on. It's not like this isn't admitted because you keep adding the proviso of, yeah, they said this at this conference. I mean, they've got tens of thousands of admitted tests they've done. Go ahead.
And right now they're selling this to the public. So they're using the fear of global warming, stating, you know, again, there are some very serious consequences. It's going to destroy the ozone layer. All of these consequences, which, by the way, now are happening. But they say we are going to have to do this for the greater good of humanity, because if we don't do it, everyone's going to die. Alex, this is about money and power. And what we're finding, we interviewed Barb Peterson of Farm Wars, and she alerted us to some things that are happening to the farms across the U.S., even in Maui. We're seeing ecosystems collapse. In natural organic foods are dying. This is not speculation.
Sure, that's what I wanted to raise to you. All in the last two films, you talked to countless scientists. They test the soil, but even mainline studies say all this stuff's going up. People call me everywhere, but I mean, I talk to old timers. There aren't as many birds. There aren't as many bugs. On the West Coast, the trees are dying. What's going on?
Well, this is an attack on life itself. And the reason, and what I found out living in Hawaii, where I go after I'm in L.A., We live on an organic farm. We're dependent on natural sun, natural seeds, and rain, you know, natural systems. This is literally what every prophecy has been talking about, this big oppressive system. And I'll tell you what they do. Through death and destruction of these programs, they create what's called abiotic stress. Abiotic stress is everything that geoengineering creates. Is heavy metal contamination in our soil. It's drought. It's too much moisture, and it's fungal overgrowth, which is very deadly to crops. Geoengineering programs proliferate fungal overgrowth. So again, they create this abiotic stress, which, by the way, the EPA states that by the year 2030, we will see 50% more crop loss due to abiotic stress. And there is a company, Alex, and I'm sure you have heard of them, that has patented a genetically modified seed to address this abiotic stress. And that company is Monsanto. So through the death and destruction of natural systems, they come in with the solution to this program. And historically, farmers, after they planted a crop at the end of the season, they would get their seeds, use some of those seeds for the next season. Many of these seeds are what are called terminator seeds, and they will not regenerate. So that makes the farmer dependent year after year after year going to this company. Of course, we've seen sterilization studies that indicate a lot of other health implications with genetically modified seeds. And again, they sterilize our soil. So the farmers that we interviewed for Why in the World Are They Spraying, one had seen a 60% decline in their ability to grow natural organic foods in the past 10 years since they've seen an increase of the aerosol trails from chemtrail programs. The other had seen a 70% decline in their ability to get yield. So again, this
I've talked to farmers and people that I know that do truck farming for their whole lives, and they say they keep thinking it's a bad year, but it goes on for decades where the weather is just never the way it's been, and it's all screwed up. And the media is like, well, yeah, you're not paying money to the government for carbon dioxide. You know, carbon dioxide's not natural, it's evil. But I mean, and then you learn we're in a carbon dioxide starved environment compared to when it's been. It's almost like the leaders are space aliens who are terraforming the planet to their atmosphere like they live or something. I mean, I'm not saying I really believe that, but that's almost becoming plausible for how destructive and psychopathic the people running things are. And then again, they admit, I mean, they had a 1978 UN treaty that we signed on to not do weather manipulation. But then they tell the public, oh, it doesn't exist. I mean, it's just crazy. We're living in a matrix.
Well, that treaty was the ENMOD treaty. And Dr. Nick Begich, who is in Why in the World Are They Spraying, explained an exemption. Countries can use this. The exemption was this. Countries can use this technology over their own soil. Scott Stevens, even Nick, spoke to us about controlling the weather. You can literally control weather thousands of miles away by putting aerosols into one area of the earth, actually manipulating the jet stream and having the affected outcome of what you desire, again, thousands of miles away. So when you manipulate weather, it doesn't get to the border of the U.S. and say, oh, you know, I can't go any further because there's an ENMOD treaty. So that appears to be the loophole in this. About the genetic modification, this is, again, genetically modifying every natural system, including forests. We now have a company called Arbogen, which is genetically modifying forests. What this is, Alex, when I go back to Hawaii, we grow our food naturally. We are not dependent on the corporation because we're dependent on nature. This is an attack on nature. And through the death and destruction of natural systems, these corporations literally usurp the authority of nature or the authority of God and bring it under corporate authority so that it can be controlled by these corporations, which are controlled by these entities. And that's what this is. Again, every major religion has spoken about this, and we are the ones that have been called to address this. Alex, I'll tell you why. We still have natural systems, but they are dying very quickly. We are still getting
No. It's a monopoly. They're going to make it where the earth can't naturally live and we can't naturally produce. That's their plan. And then we have to go get a genetically engineered baby or crops to live. It is a total monopoly takeover by the eugenicist, and it's all there. The reason we never made our film, going back 4 or 5 years ago, was we just year after year compiled rooms of documents and proof to where we couldn't even present it all. It's so nightmare. Go ahead.
Sorry for cutting you off. It's almost like we're living in a sci-fi movie. Alex, these elitists, I like to call them many different things, which we shouldn't say on air, they want to be the source of life. So through death and destruction, they are disaster capitalists. And again, they have this godlike power. And that's why we're seeing these really ridiculous things. So, you know, this issue goes so deep. Barry and I could have made a film that was literally 20 hours long in addressing many different components. We decided to go with weather control, A, because it appears to be the number one agenda, but it also outlines the basic principles of these programs, which again is to destroy natural systems so that these corporations...
It's unbelievable, but if everybody... See, things that are so big and so horrible tend to just keep going on because no one can believe it's happening, but if everybody saw your film, if everybody out there got an issue going in their local area, enough people within the system are going to be able to turn this around. We've got to force this out into a public debate. 5 years ago, you'd talk about this and get laughed at. Now the White House science czar comes out and admits they're looking at doing it and always pushing it like it's a good thing PR-wise because they know we're waking up to them. Let's go to phone calls for our guest. Let's go ahead and talk to Lisa in California, who's listening on 1320 AM KOMY. Go ahead, Lisa, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to call attention to what is a wet subatomic electrical metal mist. Like attract like. We have all these metal particulates, and of course we have poison in our bodies too. And then if you see the Earth in outer space, it is encased in a... I feel Agenda 21 also wants to encapsulate us in a grid of electricity that goes on a subatomic level throughout our bodies all the time. Increased maybe by a cell phone, whatever.
No. The globalists admit they're doing electromagnetic. In fact, Dr. Begich always points out there's 10 times literally more patents on electromagnetic manipulation than for chemical manipulation. That is going on. DARPA admits it. The details remain classified.
Yeah, I'm actually the daughter of a dead NSA consultant analyst who was the head to the governor of California when I was born.
Interesting.
Are you gone?
No. We're here, ma'am. Do you have a quick question so we can come back and answer it after the break?
The beginning of time. I never heard anything from you that I have a problem with other than personal opinions. You're meat and potatoes and everything, and I'm just way out there. But, you know, it's hell staying alive, and I wish somebody could comp me some beauty. And some health, you know, but...
Well, ma'am, God bless you. We appreciate your call. We're going to come back and jam some more calls in with our guest. A little bit of overdrive so we can get to Rob first up, then Gary and Bill and Karen and others. Everybody wants to talk about weather and chemtrails straight ahead.
Man thinks, 'cause he rules it us, he can do with it as he please. And if things don't
folks, it sounds over the top to say there's all this weather modification going on, but so much of it is publicly admitted and declassified. Just like I've been telling you forever, sodium fluoride's killing you deader than a hammer, and now they just admit it in mainstream news, but no one stops them. And it is an incredibly wicked program and plan. We're talking to the maker of the new film that we carry at InfoWarsShop.com, discounted. The Free Citizen Rulebook, if you get it there. He is the director and producer, Michael J. Murphy. Why in the world are they spraying? He also made What in the World Are They Spraying? And we're going back to your phone calls right now. Rob in North Carolina, what is your take on all this?
Well, I got two things. If I could ask you a question after we're done with the weather.
Sure.
Question, Alex. I actually live in North Carolina. We're about 3,500 feet up in the air. We're in the mountains. And I've got a 12-kilowatt solar system at the house. And we actually, when I first heard about chemtrails, like, yeah, that's kind of crazy sounding. But I see them up above, and it kind of creates like a quilt pattern. And actually, when that happens, the generation off the panels is about 25% less. So it actually affects our
power. NASA, and again, not that we just trust NASA, other governments and groups. A decade ago, the Earth was 20-something% darker. Now it's 30% darker. Guys, type in Earth now 30% darker. just into the search engine and show people. No, the Earth is darker, right about the percentage you said. I mean, this is so big. Look, when I was a kid, I lived in Dallas. I lived in Dallas until I was about 6 years old, and the trails disappeared. I lived outside Dallas with the airport. Planes didn't leave trails except in the winter. They were ice crystals. They dissipated in minutes. They don't dissipate, many of them. Yeah, there's a London Guardian. Earth is 20% darker, says expert, but I've got numbers of over 30%. Comments on that, Mr. Murphy?
Absolutely documented. Global dimming as well will be a good search to use for that. Very well documented. Even NOAA has done a report about a year and a half ago that showed a significant increase in stratospheric aerosol.
And they admitted, they said condensation trails are doing it.
Well, they say for the trails, correct. And Dane Wiggins.
But they didn't say it was a chemtrail. They say, oh, the normal ice crystals are doing it. Really? And why did an ice crystal change from when I was 20 till now?
And they failed to document in that study, A, the source of the aerosols. They are talking about the trails dimming. But for the specific aerosols that we're talking about in another study, they did not source where the aerosols were coming from or the content of that. We know what the content is from rain tests. They're the primary ingredient in geoengineering programs. But Dane Wigginton, who is a solar expert, came into this issue about 6 years ago when he began to notice. He has the largest solar-powered home in Northern California. He started getting 60 to 70% declines in the solar power. And he said, what is going on? He went outside.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to hold you over. Stay there. I want to finish with the caller. Folks, I don't just get up here and say something, no matter how crazy it sounds, just to say it to have fun. I say it because it's backed up. The solar companies, as he mentioned, are coming out and saying something's going on. This is so big. It's like in the Matrix cartoon. They made a Matrix cartoon. And in the last episode, the government blacks out the sky to kill the robots that operate off solar. So the robots just grab humans and use them as the heat source. Now, I'm not saying that's real. I'm saying they're throwing all this in our faces, and it's so big. The Earth is over 30% darker now. And they admit in the government studies that trails are doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so big. Caller, real fast, what was your other question?
I wanted to ask you or talk to you about, this was before we had a dedicated special.
Hold on, we got to just get the question in. Hold on. Relax, don't drink the fluoride, don't take the vaccine.
Relax, don't do it.
When you want to go do it. All right, real fast, going back to Rob. Rob, 30-second question. Hit me with the question. Hit me. I want to get to a few other callers here.
All right. The Federal Reserve had a charter back in 1913 for 100 years. Obviously, we're coming up on that.
Yes, big deal.
I wonder if that, no big deal or is it big
deal? No, I'm saying it's a big deal.
Okay, and then the other one was how that might tie into the, the United States went bankrupt in 1933, literally bankrupt.
By design, yeah, they're organizing us into a new bankruptcy to rape us even more.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, I mean, obviously we're coming up on the 100-year charter, and I've seen stories both ways, but I'm just kind of, it just seems to me kind of odd that the whole financial system's kind of caving in. And guess what? There's 100 years coming up. So
no, absolutely. No, it's an admitted organized collapse by design to bring us into this point we're in now. The globalists all admit that. In fact, John B. Wells had a guest on who's written a book about the organized collapse, who I want to get on the show. He had a big show Saturday with four guests. I meant to give you that to the producer. I want to get that guest he had on. Let's take another call now here for our guest. Who's been holding the longest here? Bill in Georgia got a question for the maker of Why in the World Are They Spraying?
Hey, Alex, how you doing today?
Pretty good, my friend.
I'm a retired Navy chief, 20 years of service, retired with an honorable discharge. And I tell you what, between you and YouTube, I have woken up amazingly. And looking up in the sky and seeing the chemtrails on a daily basis is really ticking me off.
There's a whole shadow system operating like they're another species or something under the national security umbrella that's not national security at all.
Exactly. And I was in a compartmentalized environment my entire 20-year career. And I had blinders on for my entire 20-year career. I went from my mother's womb to the industrialized school system, straight into the military, and had blinders on my entire life. And the next thing I know, I get out of the military, and I'm starting to wake up. And it was you and YouTube that helped wake me up.
Well, that's an amazing story. We should do a whole show about people's awakenings, just about their awakenings. Let me ask you this. Even though it's frightening to know the truth now, do you not feel more alive than you did before?
Yes, sir. I without a doubt do. I consider myself a micro farmer now. I've started a garden. I've got chickens. I've got goats. I'm trying to self-sustain myself. And the problem is, I can't self-sustain myself if they're putting beryllium oxide and aluminum oxide on my plants and on my animals.
What a beautiful call. Absolutely. You know, to hear about your awakening and now you're trying to get ready. And like our guest was saying, our caller calls in and says, my solar panels don't get as much when they're doing this. And then officially, we've got solar panel experts saying up to 60%. Thank you so much, sir, for the call. Final comments on that. Michael J. Murphy, maker of Why in the World Are They Spraying?
Well, we are seeing pilots now waking up to this issue. But, you know, I notice when I'm up in the air, it's very difficult to see the trails because you're level with them. So when we're on the ground, it's much more profound to be able to identify it. But again, pilots are waking up around the world. But I do encourage people to start gardens, to live independently from the system. However, you know, Alex, like your website, Prison Planet. Anybody who, so to speak, escapes and gets off of the plantation by growing their own food and becoming independent, this is an attack on that. They are literally trying to make it impossible to grow off of nature and essentially worship God. They want us worshiping the beast. What is the beast? I call the beast this governmental corporate conglomerate.
That's right. They want you in their fake plastic city where the whole world looks like you know, all the glittering lights and things of Times Square. They want your soul. Very well said, my friend.